Hi, folks. Hi, everybody. Just want to apologize ahead of time that I will be coughing a bit. I'm just getting over a cold, long duration cold. So, excuse me for anything like that. But I'm very happy to be asked to be here today to talk about, about these pages, and basically, hopefully, just share some stuff from my own life if it's inspiring or at least people could relate to our jumping off point for conversation. I may not do the full 20 minutes. Let's see how it goes. But actually, I have this timer. I'll just step back for myself here. And yeah, so I've been, you know, first, I just want to say I am a recovered and recovering. I think recovering, it depends on the day, but I have worked through the 12 steps of this using the BBA process. I'm an Al-Anonic. I'm an adult child of alcoholics. I am a controller fixer. Chaos creator. That's my jam. So I worked it through that lens, you know, and with that workbook. And yeah, I've been given a new lease on life or a way of living that is just been something that I guess life-saving or life-changing, revolutionary experience. And yeah, I did come out of Al-Anon proper. And I mean, not out of, I'm still in Al-Anon, but I came to BBA process after working the steps of Al-Anon, although I got stuck in the ninth step in Al-Anon. So I also am a member of that fellowship, which is really helpful as well to look at that literature specifically to being a person who loves a lot of addicts and alcoholics and how it's affected me as a family disease. So yeah, I've been invited to talk about the forewords and the title page. In some ways, at first I was like, "Ooh, this is kind of challenging because it's not as clear in a sense, like what exactly, you know, it's the story. If people aren't familiar, you know, any newcomers, it's like, I've been asked to talk about the title page, which I'm going to share the screen for here. So we'll just start there and then the forewords. And then I'm just going to use it as like a jumping off point for how I relate to it. So first, I just wanted to share the screen. Are you all seeing this title page here? Okay, great. So for any newcomers and for those who are in, you know, have worked with this, I just, for me, this page is about orientation. It's like a compass. I just love how it has this magical element to it, which for me is really important to remind myself that this is a sacred practice or a, you know, it is a practice bringing me closer to God, good orderly direction, a good way of life. You know, like I said, it's a lifestyle, or, you know, for me, it's a lifestyle opportunity, a way of living today. So when I look at this page, you know, at the top, it has the general information, you know, and then it says the first promise of hope is like the stories of these thousands of I'd say people, because I think it's more than just men and women in this world that have recovered from alcoholism or Al-Anonism, all the isms, that all the different addictions that use this beautiful process. And for me, that's exactly it, like the promise of hope that I got in these rooms from you all, my fellows, who had recovered, and from those who come in who are seeking recovery, is what gives me hope, you know, because it's an example to me that something else is possible, because I can get trapped into negative and destructive ways of, or addictive ways of thinking. So so then I've been invited to talk about the circle and the triangle. So I'll just read what it says here. The fourth edition, the symbol below was removed from the big book in the middle of 94 because of copyright complications. The circle and the triangle are also an ancient spiritual symbol, meaning mind, body, and spirit together as one. So the service side of it, so we get to ask ourselves, like, I do this from time to time, like, what's my balance like? And inevitably, I don't have a perfect balance of anything in my life, but it's nice to know that that's kind of a target to go towards, like this compass thing. So service, spirit, found in carrying the message, you see on the service side. Set of 12 spiritual principles, traditions and 12 concepts. And then the question they pose is, are you working with other Al-Anonics, taking them through these 12 steps? So that's one question I can ask myself, like once I've worked through the steps, am I doing that? And then the recovery mind, I found in the big book and tells the pages, it's a set of 12 spiritual principles. It's the 12 steps. Have you continued to actively work these 12 steps process outlined in the AA book? And then unity of body found in the fellowship, 12 spiritual principles, the 12 traditions. This is good that I'm doing this because I'm also learning. So there's the concepts on the spirit service side. There's the steps on the recovery side. And then the unity is the tradition. So that's what keeps us unified. Do you have a group that you're committed to? So for me, the answer to these is yes, although, you know, like I don't have an active sponsee right now, for example. So sometimes, you know, so then I think, well, what are other ways? I can't do that right now with work stuff. So what are other ways I can carry the message? Well, I could say yes when someone says, hey, can you chair the meeting tomorrow, whatever, you know? And so, yeah, this for me is super calming. Like I can open up the book. I know it's kind of funny I'm talking about it this way, but it's like I can open up the book and just go, okay, here I am. Like I can find myself within this, you know? It's like I can find my balance within this to remind myself of what, how to stay connected with this program. And then the promise, there's a promise, which I always love all these promises they give throughout the book. So here's the first one. The second one. So the first promise of hope is the stories. And the second promise is if action is taken in these three areas, I can be whole. So, I mean, that's that promise thing. Like you can be whole, you can be happy, you can recover from this illnesses, which therapy, all these different things, wasn't able to completely, although they're useful and also important, were not able to completely eradicate. So that's the title page, you know? And so when I was looking through the preface at the very beginning, at the top, there's this added thing, you know, for newcomers, we add in all this stuff to our book. So I added this part, it was suggested to add this in, which says, this is more than a book designed to transmit information. It's a book designed to transmit an experience sufficient enough to enable me to recover. I need more than knowledge to stay sober for good. I mean, that's a line I could read many times because basically it's not a concept. It's not something you have to understand, this program. It's an experience. So I think when I first read that line, it didn't mean what it means to me now. What it means to me now is because of everything I've experienced. So maybe I'll just talk a little bit about my life in the classic way, like who I am, what happened, or like where I came from, what happened, and how it's going, just for a couple of minutes. So I grew up I'm an adult child of alcoholics. So I grew up in an alcoholic home, an addict home. Also like people undiagnosed, like neurodivergence, which I now understand. So several things going on that were, all of which were not supported by any processes or medicines or anything. So it was a lot of chaos. And this set me up for a pretty chaotic way of life, and which drove me eventually into the 12 steps in my late 30s. I'm now turning 50 this summer. And I started working these BBA steps about 3 years ago. And I was experiencing a lot of relief from Al-Anon, and a lot of camaraderie and a lot of understanding about what alcoholism does and how it affects the family. I was learning how to reach out for help and not do everything alone, which is how I had grown up as a child, actually taking care of my parents. But there was still something missing, I guess is what I was just still in a lot of pain, and I was still quite stuck. When I was offered this way of working the steps out of the big book, and in this way of posing questions and working in a very detailed way, particularly the fourth step, the way that we do it in BBA, I was able to finally get that the spiritual experience that's promised that we were just talking about, this this experience of the 12 steps, which brought me to a new way of experiencing myself in the world. In particular, I think for me, the big results was, and I've talked about it, most people who know me in here know this, but there was a constant stream of negative self-hating thoughts, which for someone with neurodivergence like me is also comorbidity of ADHD. Also, I'm trans, so that's obviously adds a lot of stress in a world that would rather I disappear for the most part or not exist. So for all these different reasons, I had these negative thoughts. But beyond reason, you know, in the deeper way, there's no way I could reason my way out of it. Like it says here, there's no way that I could use like logic or self-knowledge to stop those thoughts, even though I tried with everything I had for decades with meditation, therapy, Al-Anon, like all these things. And partway through, I think it was like, when I started going into the ninth step, I think that's around when this radio of negative thoughts within my head was just silenced. And it was like, you know, that thing where there's like an ambient noise going on and you didn't realize it until it stops, like a fan or something. That's what it felt like. It was really like all of a sudden, like almost like someone put earplugs in my ears and I almost know what was going on, you know? It was almost a little bit unsettling because now my whole balance was off a bit and I had to kind of firm myself for a minute in that experience. But what that opened up was a whole new way of connecting with myself and with the world. And mostly just a chance at peace, you know, which I've been working so hard for so long. I mean, I'm the type that left and lived on an island for a year, built a shack and like cooked on a fire. I did all kinds of things to try to find this peace. I did not just sit around like suffering and nothing really helped, but it wasn't my doing. It was a miracle, actually. It's exactly a miracle, like they describe in any of these holy texts or anything. It's like, you know, I couldn't do it. And therapists couldn't do it and nobody could do it except for God, you know, which I call God, or people could call the goddess or creator or any magical being of love did that for me. So since then, I feel like I've lived this other possibilities. I was able to receive a lot of the promises in terms of beyond that, like being useful to myself and others, you know, to be able to participate in the world. I had been hiding from the public eye as an artist. I had been, just really not able to share my magic, I guess, in the way I felt I could or would or something, you know, just share that love and like be supportive to other people. Cause I was, you know, it's like, if you get stabbed in the side and you have this knife sticking out of you, you're not able to like really help anyone else out if you're sitting there in pain, you know? Yeah, when that pain was removed, I just feel like I was able to do a lot of things, like including taking care of these other things, like, you know, getting some trans healthcare stuff, logistical things, you know, getting assessed for ADHD, getting support for that, like all these other things opened out after this healing that I received through these steps. So anyway, that's like my a little bit about me, who I am. Yeah, so when I was reading through these prefaces, it's just explaining where this book came from. I was thinking, well, it's kind of dry, like I don't know what to share with you all. But then I realized, like, just when I think it's like just details, it's the gift is in the details, because it's really nice to know where this is coming from. And so on page XIII, what is that, like 13, the forward to the first edition. I'll just read the first couple paragraphs. This is the foreword that appeared in the first printing of the first edition in 1939. And then our added sentence says, here's where the book describes what we recover from. So we of Alcoholics Anonymous, or in my case, we of Al-Anon, are more than 100 men and women who have recovered from a seemingly hopeless state of mind and body. To show other alcoholics precisely how we have recovered is the main purpose of this book. For them, we hope these pages will prove so convincing that no further authentication will be necessary. We think this account of our experiences will help everyone to better understand the alcoholic. Many do not comprehend the alcoholic or the excitaholic, the Al-Anonic, that is a very sick person. And besides, we are sure that our way of living has its advantages for all. So there it is again about the way of living. It's important that we remain anonymous because we are too few at present to handle the overwhelming number of personal appeals which may result from this publication. So it goes into all the things like how they came to anonymity as a principle, goes into some of those details. And then at the bottom, I like this sentence that was added, which is explaining that first paragraph. It says, not our way to quit drinking, or in my case, thinking or obsessing or controlling. It's our way of living to stay sober for good. So it's not, it's in my case, like hopefully emotional sobriety that we're talking about here. And that's really important for me, as most, you know, as people may or may not know, but for me, a big part of being an Al-Anon and child of alcoholics is being the one that's well, and everybody else is all the, you know, the parents being sick, I'm taking care of them as a young child. So I get this idea that I've got it all together and they're the ones who are sick. And that is like a really thing that runs really deep for me and many of my fellows, this perspective. And so even just that admitting that I am equally as sick is like it's the road to, it's the gift. It's really one of the main gifts that I received in Al-Anon and in this program in a deeper way through that fourth step process. So I guess one other thing that popped out at me, which, I mean, there's this whole story of Bill and Ebbie Thatcher and how he had this, you know, experience that he's trying to share. But there's a part which talks about the annihilation of the ego. That I always resisted that whole thing of like, oh, your ego needs to be annihilated. Like, it just seemed like this kind of like cheap spirituality or something. Like, I just never could relate to that. But the fact is, in a certain sense, that isn't the inverse or one aspect of what I described of this voice being, of this hating voice being removed. Like, okay, if the universe is the loving place, which is like that Einstein thing, or like the biggest, I don't know, I remember the most important choice you'll make is if you, is if the universe is a loving or not a loving place, something like that, or a hateful place or something. So for me, it is a loving place now, much more often, you know, it is a place I can trust to be in. It's not a mistake that I'm alive. And I think that is a version of like ego death, what they talk about ego death. So I don't resist that a phrase anymore, because I understand it in the context of this. Like, it was important for me to get off my high horse. Like, everyone else is sick and I'm well. And also, once I got recovery, to stay off that high horse, because that's easy to go down that road. Like, well, I have this way of living that's so amazing. Come on, everyone, you know, you should do it too, or something like. One of the things we're meant to do, of course, is to reach out to and have a handout for other people who are dealing with a similar illness. Sorry, I'm going to mute it. I have to cough really. I'm very sorry. Okay. I don't know where that came from, but maybe I should just turn it over to everybody, because it seems like I have something in my throat. It was good what I was going to say, but maybe I can pop it in somewhere else in between the talks. But basically, I think it's just to say that coming to meetings, working with others, experiencing this relief from something that was lifelong, it's forever humbling. And that humility is maybe the ego death that is spoken about here. And I'd like to have my hand out to others, but not in a controlling way, but in a loving and healthy way. And so I like working with others with this parameters of this book, because it helps me to be the kind of friend that I want to be, or sponsor or fellow with others. So I think that's it. I hope it made some sense, and that we can have a nice shares now. Sorry. Okay.